The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Hey, is this thing on? Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, everyone. Your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. You're on CrackSidewalks.com. Joe McCann, Phil Bush, checking in with you because it's been a minute, and I think we finally have enough Marquette-related news, Phil, that we can maybe, I don't know, talk about hoops for a half hour or so.
Yeah, I mean, we can spend a little time waxing poetic about the Marquette offseason.
Yeah, I think I want to just start with a shout-out to the Golden Eagles, the Marquette TBT team. I think most of you know what I'm talking about when I refer to that. Hopefully you do. You know, the basketball tournament, which goes on every summer, full of alumni teams and whatnot. Marquette had another good run. They won it all last summer, eliminated in the quarterfinals this year by a Syracuse alumni team. But I do enjoy watching those guys. Hate they lost, but they are still one of the best teams in that tournament every year, and I assume they will continue to field teams. May not be the same guys every summer as we go forward, but I do enjoy watching those guys, Phil. I know you watch those games too, and they're always enjoyable. And the last game against Boeheim's Army was a tough one, but it was a heck of a game to watch.
Yeah, I mean that tournament's always. I mean this year it's got a little more competition, you know, what with the Olympics and all other sports going on. But yeah, it's always a good time to catch up and reminisce about players past and see how they developed and you know, it's good to see Vander Blue's got a full beard now and you know, Jamil Wilson's doing Jamil Wilson's thing. I really enjoyed the jersey tearing after some poor shooting. So it's enjoyable. I mean, you hate that they lost to a Syracuse team, but and quite frankly, they had a chance to win that game in advance to the semis, but you know, again, it's a fun, no risk kind of summer entertainment. So I really enjoyed it. Plus, who doesn't love old man Diener out there flopping around and you know, huffing and puffing and you know, putting in some effort.
Still doing it at age he's 39. I think he turns 40 early next year, but.
Yeah,
still going. I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's got another summer in him, but if he does, we would all love to see it. But he, of course, hit the shot that won them the tournament last season, and won the team the $1 million prize. And I'm sure some of you, I think, last season they did the thing where fans split some of the winnings. So some of us got like 80 something bucks from that. So that
yeah,
was
I think
nice.
It was 86 bucks. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'll take 86 bucks anytime. So. That was cool. But, again, thanks to the Golden Eagles TBT squad because, as I say every year, they don't have to do that. If they, you know, if they just want to train and just relax during the summer, they would be totally understandable. But they love to compete, and they want to get some work in anyway, and why not try to win $1 million? And they bring back that squad or a similar squad, maybe if some guys decide they don't want to do it anymore. I'm sure they – Marquette – that's the thing about Marquette – I always thought when this TBT thing first started that Marquette would be a perfect school to have an alumni team because we have so many guys who are good pros but not NBA players. And right. That's really what that tournament is because no NBA players participate, of course. But we have guys like Bikes and Wilson and Diener who have had cups of coffee in the NBA but have played professionally elsewhere. And guy Darius Johnson Odom, he was hurt this year. He didn't get to play. Maybe he comes back next year. But Marquette is like the perfect kind of school to have an alumni team for that thing because there's always going to be guys who are going to want to participate. And up there in Milwaukee, they pick up, you know, guys who didn't go to Marquette who want to join the team. Like Elgin Cook was unbelievable.
He's oh, my God.
Like he must I forget his final numbers, but he shot something like 80% for the tournament, I want to say. Like,
yeah,
he hardly missed.
They kept carrying on about him in the Boeheim's Army, rightfully so, saying, like, I think it was like sometime in the third quarter, one of the announcers said, well, I think that's the first bad shot I've seen Cook take all tournament. They were, yeah. You know, just raving about him.
Yeah, he was great. The whole team was good, so kudos to them for a great effort, good tournament run. Hope they run it back again next summer. So, but we are going to shift gears and talk about the Marquette University Golden Eagles, which is
future TV. Future TBT players.
Yeah, maybe some of them will be on the TBT squad in years to come. But we got so many freshmen and sophomores on the squad. It's going to be a while, Phil.
Yeah.
Because you know, this is it's a rebuilding effort. You know, let's just call that what it is. And with a new head coach, I think you can get more excited about a rebuilding effort than if it was the same coach and another rebuilding effort. When I look at this roster, Phil, you know, since we've last spoke, a few things have fallen into place. We now know for sure DJ Carton is not coming back. Dawson Garcia is not coming back. He transferred to North Carolina. Daryl Marcel is in, transfer from Maryland. So he's a guard forward. He's a wing player. He can play the point, and he can defend the point for sure. But so that was a nice pickup. But other than that, I think there's 10 freshmen and sophomores on this squad, Phil. So as I'm excited about the future, I want to make that clear. But for this particular season, I think it might be a rough go for them, just because they're just going to be so young. They're going to be counting on so many guys who have not worn the Marquette uniform, and many of whom have not played in college at all.
Yeah. Well, and to be perfectly accurate, there are 9 freshmen and sophomores. So there's 5 freshmen, 5 freshmen, 4 sophomores. Of that list, well, obviously the freshmen weren't here, but 2 of the sophomores were on this team prior. So it is, and we talked about it last time, it is a rebuilding year. Now, you know, rebuilding could turn into reloading if they play really well. So there's no reason to be down or be upset about the roster makeup. I mean, having, you know, Dawson Garcia back would have been nice, but there's no doubt there's talent on the roster, and it's essentially, you know, Shaka Smart saying, "Hey, we're going to build it my way," right? Like he's had his opportunity to get pieces. Some of these pieces on this roster, let's be honest, 5 freshmen and 4 sophomores. I doubt 3 years from now we have 4 seniors that are the exact same on the roster, right? Same with the freshmen. They're probably not going to all make it through with the transfer rules the way they are. But that's the new era we live in. So we're gonna roll the dice with what we got.
Yeah, the recruiting cycles are going to be so interesting going forward. Because when you're at a power conference school, you probably do a lot of your shopping for the next year in the transfer portal more than you do the recruiting trail as far as talking to high school athletes. Because maybe if you're a guy in your first or second year like Shaka Smart, maybe you are thinking more long term and thinking, you know, I'm going to develop guys and build things. So maybe it might not affect Marquette right now. But for many coaches out there who are feeling the pressure to win and say, well, we got to take a step forward next year, a lot of college coaches around the country just want that guy who's going to help them right away. And so that's probably going to be transfers. And, you know, this is something I heard Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander talk about this on their podcast. They said, they expect, like, Power 5 teams may only sign 1 or 2 freshmen, like our high school seniors, every year, and then just get everybody else transfers. Because then most of the – if you sign 4 or 5 freshmen, 2 or 3 are probably going to transfer after the first year anyway.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that looks nationally going forward and maybe how that affects Marquette and how Shaka recruits. Because, I mean, as it is now, Shaka's got, like – what, he's got, like, 20, 30 offers out there?
Yeah. Right?
For the next couple of years, so there's a lot of guys he's offered. Now, who is officially going to commit? Time's going to tell there, but I think it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I was in Washington, D.C. earlier this summer, and I was actually talking to a high school coach about this, and high school coaches hate it. High school coaches, you know, the top 50 guys, the top 100 guys, they're always going to have somewhere to go. But it's those guys who are not national top 100. The guys who, you know, 3-star guys, 2-star guys, who, you know, maybe in the past would have a maybe 1 or 2 power conference offers and then a lot of mid-major offers and then have something to choose from. Well, they all, now they're all like everyone's going down a level. These like three-star kids, like they're not getting as much interest from the Power Conference teams, and they are getting just kind of lukewarm interest from that next tier, like American Athletic Conference and A-10, saying, yeah, we're interested in you, but we're just not ready to offer right. We're just not ready to offer right now, you know. So he said the recruiting and trying to get some of his kids, and for this one particular coach I was talking to, his son is actually a 2022 prospect. He was saying, it's just so frustrating to me. Like, I just want to tell these coaches, look, are you interested or not?
Right.
Because don't just jerk us around and say, you know, maybe we're off on a venture. Just tell me that you don't have a spot right now, and we're going to look elsewhere for teams that do have spots. And so it's very frustrating for high school coaches, AAU coaches who are trying to get, you know, their guys who are not five stars, try to get them on college rosters. I've heard very bad things from the high school and grassroots ranks as far as getting those guys on college rosters. You may see a lot of like mid-major and maybe one bid leagues get a lot of players that they don't normally get. But the unfortunate thing for them, they all know they're probably going to lose those guys in a year or two. They're all going to try to transfer up. So it's created kind of an awkward situation. I'm not saying necessarily the big picture that the one-time transfer rule was bad, because I think that's probably fair to the college athletes to give them a chance to find new places to go. But there are some unintended consequences there, and I'm starting to see that in the high school ranks.
Yeah, well, you're going to see kind of that shadow recruiting, right? Like that's – everybody's going to want to like kind of get their pokers in the fire or whatever, right? Like get in on a kid as a freshman, even if they don't want to bring them onto their roster, in the hopes that if they do develop somewhere else, they've established a relationship and now they can go recruit, you know, recruit them as a transfer or whatever. So, I think there's going to be a couple of years here of some pretty significant chaos, right, as everyone gets figured out, because there's no doubt with the recruiting rule changes that we've got a sea change here, right? We're in a new era. But I think things will have to settle out, right? Because coaches are always going to are the smart coaches are going to try and find the inefficiencies, right? Like, so if everyone is going into the transfer market, that doesn't mean you can't go into the transfer market, but that means there's probably some develop and progress players that you might not have gotten otherwise that you can get straight out of high school, right? So if you're an established coach, I don't know that it makes sense in Shaka year one, but, you know, let's say Shaka is successful in years 3, 4, 5, right, where he's got an established core set of players, he can go out and take a couple of flyers on some high school kids that are development types, if the transfer market is pretty saturated. So there's ways that may play back the other way. But yeah, I think right now it's Shaka is just looking anywhere and everywhere to get talent onto the roster and then see what he can do with that talent in the first year or two, right? Because, you know, with Dawson Garcia gone, we still have one open scholarship, but I guess it's a bit of a pivot in the conversation. But do you foresee anyone else coming in for that open spot?
I would be very surprised.
At this point, right?
At this stage of the game, we're in August now. You know, there's not going to be anybody on the board unless there's somebody in the 2022 class who's going to reclassify last minute. Just because Marquette has so many freshmen already, I don't think you need another freshman. You know, unless you're adding Marquette's not, but like the only reason you would add a freshman this late is if it's in an Imani Bates or a Jalen Duren type, those top two or three guys in the 22 class who are thinking about reclassifying. Those guys are going to either go to Memphis or Miami, I think. But there's no transfer on the market that I know of that Marquette is involved with who would even be an impact transfer. So you don't add guys just to add guys. You might as well keep that spot open in case somebody transfers at semester, right?
Right.
Like I don't know how much that's going to happen with the one-time transfer rules now, if maybe you guys are just going to stick it out and just – because I don't know how that's going to work. Would you still lose like a year – like you'll certainly lose the first, like if you transfer in December, you would certainly lose January, February, March. But I assume everyone would be who does that would be eligible the following fall. So maybe it would still happen at the same rate it has in the past. But maybe that it, there is what I'm saying is there is some value to maybe keeping a scholarship open in case some 4- or 5-star kid that you really liked hates where he is and leaves the first semester, right, and you can add him and bring him in, have a scholarship for him. So
right, and I get think
you stash that scholarship.
Yeah, have him build in. You can stash it. I was going to say the logic would dictate that a mid-year transfer would just like use work just like an end-of-year transfer, but then I realized it's the NCAA, so logic probably doesn't have anything to do with it. A la, you know, again, this is a bit of a pivot, a la to the name, image, and likeness fiasco, which, great, the doors are open, but the NCAA just kind of stumbled all over itself and have left.
I mean, the doors are open, but they are just wide open.
Right.
Like the door, and some schools just aren't sure what to do, and some schools are kind of getting organized with it. But right now, it's just, I mean, it's good for the players, it's good for the athletes. You know, they're getting money that's long overdue, but I think the NCAA has just kind of thrown their hands up and, like, look, we're not going to regulate it. Who cares? We're just going to let it go. And if there's some, again, if some unintended consequences come up and maybe it makes the sport a mess, maybe they will try to regulate it some way or somehow. But I think there would be a lot of pushback on that if you say, well, there's name, image, and likeness now, but you can only make X amount of dollars or whatever. So, yeah, I'd let them do Cameo, let them do monetize their Instagram, YouTube, whatever. You know, I see kids selling gear now. You know, they've selling T-shirts or flip-flops or slides, whatever you call them, and hats, and doing camps and where you pay to get in and get autographs. So, yeah, I see kids making their money. And as long as the money's out there and people want to pay them, more power to them. My question is, why isn't Justin Lewis endorsing Solomon's yet? I mean, why did we even do this? If we don't have Justin Lewis endorsing all the favorite brands in and around the Marquette campus.
Well, I agree. I mean, first of all, we should find out what the NIL rate is for a Justin Lewis commercial on the Scrambled Eggs podcast.
Let us know, Justin. Tell us your rate. You know, we'll send you a T-shirt or something.
We'll
have Scrambled Eggs T-shirts made up and sent to Justin Lewis. Just tell us your rate. Just hit the DMs. DMs are open.
Yeah. I will say this. I have, and I think I've expressed it on social media a little bit, more so behind group chats and less out in the public so much. But I will say I am pretty frustrated with the approach that Marquette is taking around NIL. There seems to be, and I guess we should know better. It is Marquette. They are conservative with a small c when it comes to this sort of stuff. But I just feel like they're squandering opportunities for their athletes to get out there. I know there's concern, well, Wisconsin doesn't have legislation around NIL, and the NCAA is not giving us any guidance. And, like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, there literally is no guidance. So do whatever, and you guys have presumably a pretty strong moral compass anyway. Just do what feels right and move on, right? Like, get out there and get your players earning dollars, because this is going to matter, right? This is going to be a bit of an arms race when recruits, especially big-time recruits, are talking to coaches over this next recruiting period. You don't think that they're going to be like, hey, how are your players doing with their revenue generation? Like, how are they making their money? They're not going to...
Absolutely. You know, I think there's no... Like unofficially, it's not supposed to be used in recruiting, but come on. How could it not be?
Right.
Like, that's going to be the first thing a lot of these kids ask. Like, you know, ballpark. If I were a Marquette student-athlete and I was a really good... You know, I was a starter on your basketball team, what would I be looking at? You know, you want to be able to say, oh, well, yeah, well, based on some of our projections or what you know, what some of our star players did this past season, this is about what you could expect to make if you were a Marquette student athlete. Like, oh, okay, cool. Well, this is what I'm looking at by other top five schools that I'm considering. So, you know, let's see if we can get these numbers a little higher, and, you know, then we'll talk about a commitment. Because you know, that's right. The way it's going to go.
Right.
Well, you, or what even... you don't want to do, because what you don't want to do is be in a bidding war or, you know, be in a recruiting battle with, say, you know, like Notre Dame, for example. And they come and say, hey, well, Notre Dame showed me some numbers, and it looks like I can make about $700,000 in my first year there. What can you make here? Well, we're not sure yet. We'll have to get back to you. That's not the answer they want to hear.
Right, right.
So well, and I'm like, not saying that's what's going on, but you know, but the fact that we haven't seen – I haven't seen a Marquette student-athlete with a endorsement on their – I don't follow them all on Twitter and Instagram, but I haven't seen one, like, post something. Like, I've partnered with – this company, or I've partnered with this company, or, you know, buy these sandwiches at this place or whatever. I'm seeing that from other places.
Right. Well, I think I've seen them like post the same like script and an image that says, hey, my DMs are open. Get at me for opportunities. Right. But I've not seen anyone pitching anything yet for sure. But like, even if we assume like we're in an ideal world and the coaching staffs are not talking about, you know, revenue generation off of NIL with players, right? Like, let's say we're living in a lily white, you know, utopia of never going anything, never doing anything wrong. Like, you don't think the players are going to be coming in, the recruits are going to be talking to Justin Lewis and being like, hey, you're the big guy here. What do you got? You know, how's the university helping you out with the NIL? What are you generating? What's going on there, right? Like, talk to me about the money. Like, And again, maybe there's stuff going on under the hood that we're just not aware of. But
yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure they're working on it, and they just don't want, you know, they don't need to advertise what they're working on, or, you know, keep us updated for sure. But and I'm sure there is a plan in place, but you hope that is, you know, up and rolling by the time basketball season tips off, because when basketball season tips off, I want to see Marquette star players on billboards and
right.
I want to see them posting things on their Instagram that is making them money. So I'm sure it's in the works. I have no doubt it's in the works. But the fact that we haven't seen a lot yet, you know, it just makes me wonder. I guess I wouldn't say I'm concerned.
Right.
When I think about it, I guess I haven't seen a ton from, like, I can't say I've seen a Duke or Kentucky player do it yet either. Well, I have seen it from North Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, I have seen it from one North Carolina player, Dawson Garcia. He has an endorsement lined up. So don't think that didn't play a role in his final decision. But, so yeah, it's out there. And I'm sure Marquette will get there. I am confident that they will. Some of us are wondering, you know, when, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I'm not panicked. I'm just concerned.
No, not panicked at all. No.
Yeah, I'm just concerned.
Just want to make sure we're ahead of the curve, because sooner or later it's going to be time to sign some 2022 recruits, right?
Right. Well, I mean, hell, I mean, the Badgers. What's his name? The Mertz, the starting quarterback, took out a logo and is starting, you know, for the Badger football team, and he's starting to endorse stuff now. Football's a sooner season and a little more attention than basketball right now, but it's not like, you know, there aren't programs in the state even that are inching that way, and Marquette just seems a little slow on the uptake, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they'll get there. Yeah. They'll get there. So, but with regards to this roster, I want to talk about how they're going to navigate this schedule, because we have a schedule now, and I think it's for this roster, I think it's fairly challenging considering how young they're going to be, but there are some games that got to say I'm pretty excited about early on. First of all, hosting Illinois in the Gavitt games. So they got two non-con games before that against lower-level opponents. SIU Edwardsville, who was coached by former Marquette player Brian Barone. He used to be coached by John Harris. Now Brian Barone's the coach there. Start with them, then New Hampshire, and then Illinois, who got Kofi Coburn back. That'll be an early challenge.
For sure.
I mean, Marquette's record in the Gavitt games has not been great.
Nope.
They've had some pretty rough blowouts against Big Ten teams not named Wisconsin over the last few years. kind of bracing for myself for that to continue this year against Illinois that early, but we'll see how that goes.
To be fair, when did the Gavitt games start? Have the Gavitt games been entirely within the Wojo era?
That sounds right to me.
I don't remember any Gavitt games with Buzz Williams. So I think we can just put this squarely on bad Wojo juju. So maybe we'll be better.
Maybe so. I'm trying to look up the schedule. I want to say Buzz had it. Let's see. So 2013 was the last year of Buzz. Let's see. Now, they did not play a Big Ten team early that year. They played Butler earlier that year. That's interesting. Of course, that wasn't a Big East game at that time.
They began in 2015, so it's exclusively a Wojo thing. No wonder we haven't done well in them.
Well, yeah, so we can just blame it that way.
Yeah, there we go.
But, yeah, so hopefully we do a little better, but again, with a team that is not projected to finish all that high in the Big East, we can get to that a little later. Well, there aren't even preseason polls out, but just seeing some early projections. But the Charleston Classic should be fun. We have a bracket for that as well, so that's Marquette's preseason conference or non-conference tournament. Marquette's going to play Ole Miss in the first game, and then they, depending on the result, they will either get Elon or West Virginia. Presuming that means a win, you're getting West Virginia; a loss, you're getting Elon. And then on the other side of the bracket, Marquette will eventually play one of St. Bonaventure, Boise State, Clemson, Temple. You know, looking at the bracket, West Virginia would be a really tough matchup. But Marquette would have, I think, they might have a tough time with West Virginia. Maybe they can match up with Ole Miss. Maybe they can get a win in that one, but I think you look at the bracket. If you can get out of Charleston 2-1, I think that'd be a win for this team.
I would agree. I don't know. I'm not ready to start making projections, but I have to
me
say,
neither.
I'm relatively pessimistic in the non-conference. We'll get through it. Just it's a tough schedule, and it's a very young team. It's very guard heavy, right? Brand new coach. So if I sound pessimistic about the non-conference, I just want to note it. That's just the reality of the situation. I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset. Like we're in a good place. I'm happy with Shaka. I wish a piece or two had worked out better on the roster, but that's the breaks, and we're gonna see how they shape up. It's definitely gonna be a team that's gonna play in Shaka's style, right? I think.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt that Shaka's going to play defense first with this roster, and we'll see how that shakes out with the non-conference schedule as we're going through it.
Yeah, it is guard heavy, but not really point guard heavy. That's an area of concern I have. Mitchell is a young guy, but a guy I like, but freshman, so. Get a little nervous about him. Marcel, I guess he played the point at Maryland. But he's a little more of a perimeter guy. He played more of a combo, I guess. They had him list. I guess he split his time between the 1, 2, and the 3. So maybe not a true point guard, but he'll help at that spot. His assist rate was pretty good, but I wouldn't say it's elite by any means. He definitely can guard those positions exceptionally well. But other than that, you got Greg Elliott. Not really a true point guard, guy you love, but not a point guard. So I'm concerned about from the ball handling aspect in that for this year's team. So we have guards for sure. It's just I'm curious how that's going to work. I'm very optimistic for Mitchell's future. I'm just concerned if your lead point guard's a freshman is all I'm
right.
saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm very comfortable with the roster 2 through 4. Positions. It's the 1 and the 5 that I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like we're bouncing back and forth between roster takes and schedule takes, but whatever. This is kind of a scramble drill for us anyway. So
yeah, it's the off season. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, but anyway, the rest of the schedule. The other highlights would be Marquette's in Madison this year, so we're going to go to the Coal Hole to play the Badgers. Play Brad Davison for the 12th time, I think.
And then
at Kansas State, so back-to-back road games, first Madison, then Manhattan, and then UCLA will be our last non-conference game, and they got Johnny Juzang back, so UCLA should be really, really good. But get them in Milwaukee, that's the highlight there. But Kansas State in the Big East Big 12 Challenge. Will the Big 12 still exist by the time we get to that game, Phil?
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping we can talk Kansas State with you know, the fact that Kansas is now a Big East member because they've chosen to park their crappy football program somewhere else.
Yeah. It's nice that this round of conference realignment really doesn't affect us at all.
Right.
Like, yeah, these teams, there may be some shuffling, but we can joke about Kansas joining the Big East, but realistically, I don't expect any dominoes to fall on the Big East. It's just nice to just kind of sit back and watch the carnage this time.
Yeah, I mean, we joke about the Kansas thing. I mean, I think it's an extremely unlikely scenario, but like there's a high probability that the Big 12 kind of implodes, right? Like when you started seeing reports that the AAC was gonna, you know, they were gonna be buyers and go out and be aggressive, you know, when Texas and Oklahoma left and pick up teams, so that the Big 12 fell apart and all that stuff. It's like, whoa, this realignment is a whole different animal, right? Like this is not like mutual shuffling and teams looking. This is one particular conference. A couple of teams have very high opinions of themselves and are basically like burning down the house on their way out to get to a better house. So, I mean, there's going to be some chaos. It's just going to be a question of if there's chaos in the right direction that allows the Big East to take advantage. But to your point, it is really nice that the Big East, it's like we're playing poker and we're not either of the blinds. So if we don't like what we see, we just fold and walk away and we're not out anything. Yeah. Right?
It's not going to affect, really not going to, don't think there's going to be any blowback on the Big East as far as television contracts or TV time, because there's like no school that has football that that we have to worry about. Because I think it was even in the contract when UConn joined, if they wanted to leave for football reasons, like there's a massive buyout,
right?
Like an incredible buyout, something that UConn would never pay. So I mean, UConn's all in,
right? Right.
So there's no fear on our part. So let the Big 12 burn. If Kansas wants to drop football and join us, we'll talk. But don't
hey, and if and if the Big 12 wants to burn ESPN down with it, like I'm not like that's not devastating to me as a
if they want a Fox contract,
right?
Just sue the pants off of ESPN. I don't care. But whatever. We'll just sit back here and watch it burn. So the got off topic again. So, yeah, but I agree with what you were saying earlier, Phil, that, you know, it's a challenging schedule for this team. I expect some lumps in that non-conference schedule, especially those back-to-back road games, playing a team in UCLA that might be in the top 10 in the preseason. West Virginia might be pretty highly rated if we end up playing them. Illinois is probably going to be pretty highly rated. I don't know if they'll be a top 10 team again, but I think Illinois is going to be a top 25 team for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, so it would not shock me at all if Marquette lost all of those games I just mentioned, just because, again, they're young, you're going to be depending on a lot of freshmen, a lot of guys who have not played together before. But all that said, I am optimistic about this team because the way they play is going to change. I'm just curious what that's going to look like. And going back to, you know, Shaka shaping this team into what he wants it to be, having Marcel come in as a grad transfer is very important, because I think he's going to set the tone defensively for what Shaka wants this team and his future teams to be. So Marcel is going to like guide all these guys, set an example of how we play defense. And when Marcel is gone next year, the guys who are left are going to be like, look, this is what Daryl Morcell taught us about defense, and this is the way we're going to play defense at Marquette. So that's why I'm really excited about Morcell coming on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so. Two things. Again, regardless of what the results are, I think one, this team will play defense, which was, you know, something we all complained about in the Wojo era. And two, I think this team will play hard, right? Which was also surprisingly something we complained about in the Wojo era, right? And so I think that kind of change, again, regardless of the results, obviously we want to win, and we want to win as much as possible. But just the sheer difference, right? And like you said, the Morcell signing is critical because it puts some experience on this roster, especially experience that is defensive oriented and a talent on the defensive end. I think you can basically build from Morcell out from a defensive standpoint and really, you know, kind of, especially early, right? Like if we go back to the Buzz William days, right, it was partially a joke, partially true. You know, they're only doing defense. The offense hasn't been installed. That'll get installed on Tuesday, right? And we might be kind of back to that era a little bit, where they show a lot of heart on the defensive end. Now, this is a lot of projecting on my part, but they show a lot of heart and effort on the defensive end, and they let that feed, you know, more of a fast break type of offense. And from a structural to half court offense, it won't look great early, right? As this team tries to find its identity, especially with this schedule, right? Like, when you think about it, this schedule, we've got, you know, three of them are a neutral tournament, but you still got 5 out of 11 games on the road, you know, or away from home. That's, you know, nearly 50% of the games are not at home, which is kind of surprising with a roster this young and a brand new coaching staff. But hey, if Shaka's for it, I'm for it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that's beyond their control, right?
That's fair.
The contract with Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, it was in Milwaukee last year, so it has to be in Madison this year. The Big East, Big 12 Challenge, that's beyond Marquette's control. They choose the home games there. And, of course, you're not going to have your MTE in Milwaukee, so that has to be in Charleston. So every other game that Marquette controls, they're having at home.
Yep, so that's true.
I would say that. And then the UCLA contract, I mean, we went there last year, so they have to come to Milwaukee this year. So. Yeah, they didn't seek out another road game is basically what I'm saying. They didn't try to sign another one. Yeah, that's enough's enough. So everyone else, come on to Milwaukee. So Jackson State, Northern Illinois, New Hampshire, SIUE, everybody's coming. They're all coming to Milwaukee. And yeah. They should all be wins. Should all be wins.
And there'll be wins in Fiserv Forum, home of NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, how great was that, by the way? That's super happened cool. Since the last time we recorded.
Yeah. Not
But it's great to have a champion in the building. So I know a lot of Marquette fans obviously are Bucks fans. So happy for you guys who are long-suffering Bucks fans. I wouldn't say I'm a Bucks fan myself, but I like the Bucks, and I was very happy for Giannis, of course. How can you not like Giannis?
Oh my God, that guy! Did it make national news? His Chick-fil-A run the next day?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know if that was local news being local news, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was more blew up locally, but I mean that was all over my Twitter and Instagram feed. Maybe because I follow all of you guys, that's why I saw it. But but yeah, that was. I want to say I even saw that on cable news. I think I saw that on CNN. I want to say they showed that. So, yeah. Oh yeah, that was hilarious. A 50 piece, and then apparently Chick-fil-A is now offering a 50-50 on their menu in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it's the half Sprite, half lemonade that he ordered, and they're calling it the 50-50.
Correct. So, well, and then there's just like there's an Arnold Palmer, and then you can have a Jack Daly, which is an Arnold Palmer with whiskey. There's John now Daly, yeah. John Daly. What did I say? Whatever. There's apparently you can take the Giannis and add alcohol to it, and that gets you the Greek Freak.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's coming to golf courses near you anytime soon.
Maybe it'll be a popular drink at bars around Milwaukee as well.
I just guarantee you it will be.
Yeah, just bars around the Deer District.
Yeah, maybe you can get one inside the Fiserv.
Charge $25 a drink and people will pay it just because it's named after Giannis. So yeah. I can see that. But no, I was very happy to see the Bucks win. You know, it was one of those things because when the finals started, I was like, you know, I'm kind of torn because I got all these Marquette friends who are Bucks fans and I'd love to see it for them. But Jay Crowder's on the Suns.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see Jay Crowder get a ring. But you ever were you ever in a situation where you watch a game and you start watching and you're like, I really don't care who wins. But after maybe a few minutes in, you find yourself reacting one way when one team scores and you react another way when the other team scores and you find yourself, okay, I'm rooting for this team. Yeah. That's kind of the way I got with that series. Like when the Suns would win, I kind of reacted like, I really didn't want the Suns to win tonight. And then the Suns got up 2-0. I was like, I'm really not happy that the Suns are up 2-0 right now. And then, you know, the Bucks won game three. And then I was like, you know, I'm not neutral in this series. I want to see the Bucks win. So that's when I kind of saw, look, I want to see the Bucks come all the way back. And that was awesome. So.
Well, I mean, if nothing else to bring it back, it's a nice little recruiting tool, right? I mean,
it's not nothing.
Right. You know, you play in the same stadium as the NBA champions. That's gotta count for something.
Yeah, I mean, you establish a relationship with Giannis and have him just casually walking around when you happen to bring a recruit to the Fiserv Forum. Like, oh hey, what a coincidence! Giannis is here.
Just tell Giannis when recruits come in that you know, hey, there's some Chick-fil-A in the back here if you find your way.
He's still got another brother in high school, right? Might as well go ahead and offer him.
Make
sure you just establish that relationship. I mean, it can't be bad, right? I mean, the other three all have championship rings.
that is true. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And I do know, like, speaking of recruiting, I do know, I have it on very good authority that and it makes total sense, but multiple recruits, both, you know, transfer recruits as well as high school recruits, were in the Marquette box at the Fiserv when some of the playoff games were going out.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. So again,
as long as it's not a recruiting violation, it's good with me. So
right. Well, and I'd have to look at when the blackout periods were and stuff, but they were during visit, like they were on campus visits that they were able to go to games.
That's a hell of a deal to have then. You say, hey, you want Bucks tickets on your visit? Come on down.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, can we talk about the NBA permanently pushing their schedule back so the playoffs fall in June and July? I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah, well, we just need the Bucks to make the finals every year because I think they're going back to the usual schedule next year. So the finals will still be wrapping up in, I guess, early June next year. So. Yeah.
Could be worse.
I mean, if the regular season is still going on October, November, December, so bring kids on campus then.
Work it out so they
can see a Bucks game on Friday and a Marquette game on Saturday. If that'll work out.
Yeah, might as well.
But like I said, there's nothing bad about having an NBA champion to sharing a building with the NBA champions. And you know, I just love it so much for Milwaukee and Giannis because I feel like I'm no Bucks fans feel this way, but even as an outsider, I feel like there was a huge push nationally to get Giannis out of Milwaukee, right?
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah, 100%.
Like we got to get Giannis out of there, man. We got to get him to Golden State. We got to get him to Los Angeles. We need him to win a ring somewhere, and he's not going to do it in Milwaukee. So the fact that you can no longer say Giannis will never be a champion in Milwaukee is awesome. And who knows if he never wins. Maybe he never wins another one, but it doesn't matter because he's got that one. I hope he wins multiple for the
right. Well, and I also think there was also the whole. I mean, it was nice that both the Suns and the Bucks were in again. Jay Crowder with the Marquette element. I have to admit, like, and again, Jay Crowder can do no wrong, so I bit my tongue. But I don't remember Jay Crowder being this theatrical in his days at Marquette.
Yeah, that was funny. I saw like even some Marquette fans saying, "Look, he's a Marquette guy, but I can't stand Jay Crowder right now." I hope that's just like the emotions of the game, like, you know, the emotion, the tension of the NBA Finals, and maybe they'll come back and realize, "Hey, come on, he's a Marquette guy. He plays hard, tries to get his team wins." Jay Crowder is going to have like a 15-year NBA career because he's. You know, he's not a superstar. He'll never be the best player on any team he plays, but he'll always be a guy that championship teams want to fill in that role.
Right. Well, he's the right amount of affordable, right? Like, he's a mid-level contract with, you know, he's the classic 3-and-D guy. And, And so he's always going to have value in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you can't afford five $40 million contracts if right. you're an NBA team.
Unless you're the Lakers, guys, apparently.
Yeah, like, you know, the salary cap doesn't exist for them, but for everyone else, you got to have two superstars, and then you got to fill in the gaps with affordable players, and that's what Jay Crowder is. He's, you know, he's not poor, but he's not going to break your salary cap situation.
Right. So
that's why he also gets traded so much, because he's like the perfect guy to throw in any trade. Like, one team's like, hey, he's a good player, we'll take him, and the other team's like, eh, he's good, but fine, we want this other guy so you can have him. So like, right. he's got like that. So that's why he gets traded so much. He may be traded before this podcast is over, but he's a guy who good teams are always going to want. So Jay's going to play in the NBA until he doesn't want to play anymore. That's for sure.
Yep, 100%.
We need some more Marquette guys in the NBA. By the way, it's getting a little low.
Yeah, get Shaka working on that. He's drafted three big men into the NBA in the last 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, he's had a handful of guys. I mean, Greg Brown got drafted this year. Sims, I assume, got drafted.
Yeah, Sims did. Or maybe. Yep.
Yeah. He's had why am I blanking on Mo Bamba?
Yep.
And I'm blanking on others. But he's had a handful of guys who have been picked from Texas, and really good players. I'm sure it'll continue, but, you know, like I said, this is it's a young squad. I mean, Justin Lewis may be the NBA sooner rather than later, and I think Shaka is only going to help him in that regard. He'll help him to continue to develop, get to where he wants to be. But, you know, I when Wojo was fired, you know, we knew there was going to be turnover. I didn't imagine we'd only have three guys left from the last year's roster. But for me to like really have any kind of expectations of Marquette competing in the Big East this year, the big three all needed to return for me: Carton, Garcia, and Lewis. And Marquette got one of them back, so that's why I'm kind of dialing back my win-loss expectation. I haven't made a prediction yet because I want to see how other predictions shape up and like KenPom numbers come out and all those things before I really kind of judge it. But my gut tells me to approach this season with patience, and this team's going to get better as this year and the next couple years go on, as these young guys grow up. But I am exercising patience with this squad myself.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know how you can't, right? Like,
right.
And I'm sure there will be some knee-jerk reactions, especially amongst the crowd that was, well, let's, you know, year 8 or 9 is the year Wojo really breaks out crowd.
Yeah.
If the season, you know, if they go, I don't know, 5-6 in non-conference. I mean, it's possible. It would be a little bit disappointing, but again, I'd understand it. But yeah, there will be some if Marquette has a losing record or you know, well, I guess they can't have a 500 record because there's only 11 games. But if Marquette has a losing record in the non-conference, I think there'll be some folks expressing displeasure. But again, year one, roster turnover, it comes with it. Like, you got to stay the course and keep the faith that it was the right decision. And 100% it was the right decision. Wojo needed to go. Shaka was the right hire. Year one in the Shaka era, you give all of the slack you can, and then we see where we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'd have to check the tape, but I'm pretty sure we gave Wojo plenty of slack 100%. In 2014. Yeah, I mean, the cupboard was bare that year. I mean,
yep.
I think they were playing with 8 scholarship guys at the end of that season.
So, hell, yeah. I think the first 3 years in the Wojo era, we kept saying, well, he was in a hole because of Buzz Williams. He was in a hole. That was the excuse, right?
Right, yeah. And so we have to have some patience with Shaka. I guess what I'm really looking for this year is just those flashes from the young guys. Yeah, and an identity. Yeah, I think the number one thing I think a lot of people want to see is that this team is just better defensively, and they may not have anything offensively compared to what we've been used to over the last few years in the Marcus Howard era, but they if they have an identity as a strong defensive team and can build on that, and maybe the offense grows over the next year or two to the point that they do become a tournament team. I guess that's what I'm looking for. Maybe those flashes from the young guys to say, okay, maybe that's what he can be. Because, like you said earlier, Phil, the odds that all of these young guys are going to exhaust all of their eligibility at Marquette is probably not likely. Just the way college basketball is, the guys who were buried on the depth chart probably are going to transfer, and that's not a Marquette thing. That's a college basketball thing. So some of these guys will probably move on at some point, but, you know, just pick out, and this is probably what Shaka and his staff are doing too, pick out the guys we're going to roll with. Say, like, these guys are going to be our stars. And if some other guys move on, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Everybody's welcome to stay if you want to stay, but I think in the current college basketball landscape, I think every team has got to be bracing for quite a bit of roster turnover every single year.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. That's just the way it's going to be from here on out.
Yeah. How long have we talked here? How long have we been going? Gosh, we've been going like 45 minutes now. Jesus.
Well, the path has been meandering.
Yeah, it's been a long, winding road. I'm not sure there was even any kind of a goal to what we were actually going to accomplish in this podcast, and just fire off some random thoughts about Marquette basketball, because we haven't done it in a while. But I think we've hit on the major points. We have a schedule. We have a roster. We know, barring any last-minute surprises, who's going to be on the team. I still will probably need a media guide handy when I'm watching games in November, just to get used to everybody. But excited about the direction, tempering expectations for this year, but excited about some of the games in the non-con, because there are some pretty exciting games, and that's about where I'm at. So
yeah, no, I'm
for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'll put it. Let me put it this way succinctly: officially before Wojo was fired, plans were made that season tickets were not going to be renewed for this season for all sorts of reasons, but in part just because it just wasn't worth it to go to the games. And now season tickets have been renewed. So, woo-hoo. You know, we're making good progress, at least in the Bush household.
Maybe I'll actually fly up and come to a game this year.
Oh, that would be quite lovely.
I haven't seen the Fiserv Forum for myself yet. It's probably about time.
Yeah, absolutely. One, and, you know, the youngest Bush member is fired up and ready for games and doesn't stop talking. So you can, you know, spend some time with her, too.
Oh, that sounds very good. We'll plan on that then. So, as always, everybody, thanks for checking in with us and just hearing us ramble for about an hour here. As always, you can hit us with your feedback. I'm Joe McCann3 on Twitter. Phil is MOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is a team handle. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page, and also go to cracksidewalks.com. By the way, check out the interview Todd Welter had with Mike.
Absolutely.
That's posted on. That's good stuff. Todd, if you want to know more about the schedule and the strategy going forward, he had some good stuff with Mike on there. So check out Crack Sidewalks for that interview, as well as we post the podcast, and you can leave comments on the podcast there. Anything else before we get out of here, Phil?
I don't think there's anything else random I can bring up in this call.
I'm sure we could probably do some more random stuff next time. Don't know when that'll be, but maybe when there's more Marquette news, we will be right on it. Until next time, seashells and balloons, everybody.